Bibles. Well, hey, take your, that's not too proper, is it? Hey, y'all, take your Bible. Did you hear the, one of the greatest statements ever made by a hillbilly? Hey, y'all, watch this. All right. Worst thing you can hear is get in, buckle up, and shut up. Amen. Let's try this. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in life that, you know, that's kind of scary, you know. Hey, I'm going to try this. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to talk to you today about the access to God and His throne. It doesn't sound very amazing, but it is. I've been studying this week, and it just touches my heart to know that we have access. We have access to the throne of God. When I was a child, my father, your Uncle Claire, my father was a politician. And for over 25 years, he was a supervisor of the Hope Township. And he spent a lot of time at Middleton County Courthouse where the Board of the Supervisors met. And once in a great while, I was able to accompany my father. I don't know why he took me, but he took me. And I remember going into some meetings and, of course, being a young boy, I wanted to explore. And so the best way to do is, hey, I got to go to the men's room. That's, you know, that's how you get out of it, you know. And, of course, my dad had to stay there in that board meeting. And little Sheldon took off and started roaming the great big courthouse of Midland, Michigan. Courthouse in Midland, Michigan is beautiful. You probably know the Dow Chemical Company. That's where it started in Midland, Michigan. And Dow Chemical was very, very generous to our county and gave a lot of money and helped to build this magnificent, beautiful, high-ceilinged courthouse with magnificent murals that were hand-painted, just incredible. Of course, there was Indian country just before when the settlers moved in there, and so they had a lot of Indian regalia and things like that. Well, I remember going to one of those meetings, and I figured I was really a big shot walking around that beautiful ornate halls and high illustrated painted ceilings, and I walked around the courthouse like I owned the place. Because my dad was the chairman of the board, amen. And one term, my father, being the chairman of the supervisors, he was the chairman of the powerful Ways and Means Committee. And one time I was with my dad, and I still remember the county clerk's name was Ben Pinner. And he asked me if they were meeting and they would decide whether or not they would pay these bills that were given to the county. And he asked me, he said, do you think we ought to pay this bill? And I said, well, of course. And they all laughed. Little did I know that the dogs had been in our sheep in Michigan and killed the 47 of them one night, and the county would reimburse. That's, you pay the dog tax or the dog license, and then if dogs get into animals like that, that's how they pay it. And so they were doing it. And I said, well, of course. And they all thought that was funny. Secondly, that was the first time I had a donut. They had it 10 o'clock. A coffee break, and they brought in these most wonderful things called donuts. I never had anything like that in my life. They were wonderful French pastries, and oh my goodness, as you can tell, I have not stopped eating those. Amen. Well, I felt I was really accepted at the courthouse, and not because who I was, but because who my father was. And that got me to thinking this week. We're nothing, but we have a Heavenly Father that's everything. And because of that, we feel like we're really something. We feel like that we have, you might say, the world by the tail, amen. Because we have access to the Heavenly Father. Anyone with a lick of sense desires to live right in this blood-spattered world. And he knows that someday he will give an account how he lived in this world. He has to have a godly desire to live honestly and raise up good Christian family, and he wants to live by faith. And to do that, he must desire a life of meaning and purpose. And he realizes that to find true success, He must have access to the throne of grace. You know, that's the problem, to find a way of get a hearing with God on his throne. That is the same problem common man has, able to meet with someone in high authority in the state. Of course, it becomes very difficult at times to get to somebody who is really somebody. The other day I thought, you know, I was thinking on that. I said, you know, I wonder how hard it would to get to have a time to sit down with the President of the United States of America. I'd like to sit down with him and tell him a few things. I heard some of you did last week at voting polls, amen. So I went into the President of the United States website, and it's very friendly. And I find a way how I can have an audience with my president. It was written very cordial, made me feel like telling me how the president wanted to be very open and available. Then I realized the only openness was on the internet. It wasn't a personal thing. Nothing personal, just videos of the president's office, the Rose Garden, on and on. Nothing that was helpful at all that I may gain personal access to him. Now, to be very serious, you can imagine what a nightmare it would be as the Secret Service and security to have to deal with all the Americans personally who wanted to meet with him. All the pomp and all the circumstance, all the protocol. Then to get a chance that you could find grace from someone who is in charge, who oversees to get you in the White House, would be overwhelming to us common people. I want you to notice that word access, A-C-C-E-S-S, the word access. It was the means to have an appointment to approach or to enter a place or gaining permission, giving you liberty, an ability to enter, to approach, or just to pass into the throne room, to approach or to communicate with a person of great authority. Access brings the idea of freedom or ability to obtain or make us something, the right opportunity to use something or to someone. The Bible times, to gain access to someone or to enter, you had to have a call, what they called an intermediary. My dad used to say, son, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. If you wanted to access, enter into Oriental Court, you needed an intermediary to introduce you. One who would supplant for you or guarantee your genuineness. For instance, Apostle Paul, he got saved on the road to Damascus. And yes, Paul of Tarsus. You'll note in your Bible when he came to Jerusalem that after being saved, nobody wanted anything to do with this guy. Why? Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired him a letter to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way whereby they were men and women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As a Christian, you didn't want anything to do with Saul. He was a massacrer. He would kill you. He would put you in prison. He was probably the most thorough enemy of Christendom. Scripture reads that he made havoc of the church. But something marvelously happened on the road to Damascus. He got saved. There was a great change in his life. When you got saved, I hope there was a great change in your life. Things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. The things you used to say, you don't want to say them anymore. The things you used to hear, you don't want to hear them anymore. The place you used to go, you don't want to go there anymore. When you got saved, my mom used to say, your Aunt Genevieve used to say, He got really, really saved. Well, the apostle Saul, who turned into be Paul, got really, really saved. Therefore, Barnabas wanted the apostles to meet this new convert. So Barnabas was Paul's access. You find in the Old Testament, the writers of the Scripture portrays God as the ultimate king. Psalm 47, verse 7 and 8 and 9. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shield of the earth belongs unto God. He is greatly exalted. To me, here's one of the most amazing truths in the Bible, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords literally commands us, approach my throne. I'll guarantee you one thing. If you called up if you called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue today and said, hey, I just thought I'd stop in to see my buddy, the president, they say, no, you're not going to see the president. But I have to see him. You're not going to see him. Why not? He's busy. He's golfing. It's Sunday. I know. That's where he is. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Can you imagine the holy God of this universe? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Almighty God says, hey, come boldly to my throne. That's a powerful thing, to have access to the throne of God. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we just kind of blow this thing off about prayer. I think sometimes we just get so busy and we just do it ourselves and we suffer through so much instead of coming boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy in time of need. This is one of those things the psalmist says, and he just couldn't fathom Psalm 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I can't understand it. To think that us mortals can come before an immortal, almighty God is almost mind-boggling. Listen to Paul when he writes to the church at Rome. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul the Apostle said, can you imagine? You can go to the Almighty God's throne. You can just walk right in. You don't need any, you don't have to have an emissary to come in and say, hey, by the way, I want you to know that this is Rick and he's a good man and he loves you and you don't need that. You just come into the throne of God. Stories are told about John F. Kennedy and his son. And now that they were working on a lot of projects, and here his little son just come bebopping into the officer. No big deal. They talk about Abraham Lincoln's son. He used to come right into his office without fear of a reprisal. And by the way, nobody better say anything to those boys when they're walking in, because the president said they are always welcome. Now, folks, if that is true to this world, is that back door shut? Thank you. If that is true, that's a terrible thing when you have good hearing aids and they're actually working. If that is true, can you imagine what you have as a Christian? Do you imagine, you know, if you had someone who was a father that's rich and was always being so elaborate with you and making sure all the things were taken care of and not having to worry about anything, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Ladies and gentlemen, you have something greater than a rich daddy. You have something greater than a rich grandmother. There's a God in heaven that says, come on, ask me. Prove me here what saith, I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing. I think so many times we have forgotten that God truly says what He means and means what He says when He says, come boldly, come on. You don't have to be afraid as the ancient would come in before the king and afraid to meet them. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says in chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19, for through Him we both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I've read this over and it's mind-boggling to see what God has really promised me and promised you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have total access to the throne room of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by Him of faith. Can you imagine that any person that is a Christian, any age, has the privilege and the God-given right to approach the throne of God? He, the maker of this universe, commands us without hesitation. The author of creation, the author and finisher of our faith, the magnificent, the meticulous, the marvelous, the wonderful, the perfect, the awesome, the incredible God. And to think that we are so loved beyond compare. He who is so real, the all-wise, the answering of everything, the answer to every problem, every trial, the answer to every decision, to every burden, to every care, to think He is our wonderful, loving Abba Father. Psalm 89. David wrote, verse 26, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Psalm 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Many times in the Bible there are recorded incidents of people who, realizing that their very lives were at stake, a life and death situation to approach a king without being summoned by the royal leader. I was reading Esther the other day, and Esther chapter 4, verse 11 reminded me that all the king's servant and the people of the king's province do know, they knew it, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king would hold out his golden scepter that he may live. Which to me is so ironic, the fact that the greatest and all-encompassing God Almighty encourages, just come on in. Just come on in. Come on in, the door's open. How many like that? You don't do that anymore. That used the way it used to be. Doors open, come on in. We don't do it anymore because we live in fear anymore. But there's a house at 663 Shear Road. Doors were never locked. Keys were always in all the equipment. Gas tank was unlocked. Everything. You wanted something, you just come and got it. Amen. And that's exactly what God's trying to tell us bimbos and idiots. Listen to me. Come on in. The door's open. God tried to tell us, listen, you got a problem, you come to me. Don't you hold it back. Don't you worry about what I'm going to do. I will not get after you. I will not scorn you. You just come on in. The door is open. And God gives us, may I say, total access. Listen to Jesus explaining to the hearers what prayer truly is. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 9. And he said unto them, "Which of you have a friend? And so go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For the friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I want you to read that, girls. Yes, the kids are in bed with them. There's nothing wrong with that, amen. I just want to give you some scripture there. Go to your own bed. I am in my bed. This is your bed too, amen. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask." Oh, we fail. We fail so many times in our lives. We gripe, we complain, we go have the government take care of us instead of having God take care of us. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth." That's verse 10. "And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Again, Jesus calls his followers to ask in John chapter 16, verse 23-24. "And in the day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you." That's why we always end our prayer in Jesus' name. "He will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full." James wrote to the early Christians in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea driven and the wind tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." God says, go in and ask, but ask by faith. Very plainly, as a child of God, we gain access to the throne of God and his mercy and grace. When our precious Lord came to the earth, he died on the cross and shed his precious blood so that we, who are dead in trespass of sin, would gain access to the holy. We were heathen and barbarians. We had no access to the holy, let alone his presence. In the Old Testament time, God had made a covenant with Abraham, the head of the chosen people. We're not of that offspring. But we had no right to personally approach the Holy One, obtain his favor, and get introduction into the room, throne room of God yet. And I do mean yet. When we were granted this pleasure, as Paul told us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, "For through him we have both access by the Spirit and the Father." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. We have boldness and access to confidence. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for our sin and just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death of the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, shed his precious blood and died so that the barrier would be removed, the barrier of sin, the barrier of our sins, that produces hostility before the Holy One. Jesus Christ took care of that. Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God in our body in the cross, having slain it. Christ Jesus our Lord shed blood, enabled the believer to draw near, and may I say with confidence, come into the glorious throne room of heaven. Oh, how sweet is this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Oh. We are so much like those children of Israel. David wrote in Psalm 81 and verse 11 through 16, but my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked into their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel, I had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned mine hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with the honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. Oh, my. We miss out on so much when we do not, nor when we are unwilling to stay close to the Lord and walk with him. Many times when folks are around me, they share the spoils, the bounty that God has given to me, just because they were there close to the giver. Not that they were best friends, but because they were there. The other day, we have this great big bear, great big huge bear. And folks, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get rid of some stuff at my house just so I can walk through. When you're married almost 45 years, you just accumulate. Just move from one house to the next and find out how much. I bought another one because I couldn't find this one. Well, this great big old bear is there. And my little buddy came over the other day, and I said to her, would you like this bear? And it's the most fuzziest, nicest bear. It was three times as big as that little girl. It wasn't because she's the only little girl in my church, but because she was there. She was there. So many times people miss. Have you ever been around some people and they're your best friend and all of a sudden you find out they gave something to somebody else? Hey, I'm your best friend. What'd you give it to them for? Well, they were there. They were there. Had some families come over and help me move some stuff. And I just said, hey, take this home. It wasn't because they're on the, you know, they were just there. Little ones come to my office. Well, they beg to go to my office. Why? Because I have candy in my office. Even they'll come to me and ask him, says, hey, preacher, you got any candy? I said, yeah. He said, can I get some? I said, well, my door is locked. Can I have your key? I take my key out and give it. They go up there. I don't know what they do in my office. Talk on my phone. I don't know. It ought to be that we are as desirous to be blessed by God that we don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out on the good times of God, his kindness and his goodness, any of his grace and mercy and guidance. I remember I told you this many times, but every time I'd hear my daddy start up a tractor, I was heading for it. I'd jump up there and he said, what you doing, boy? I said, I don't want to miss out. He said, well, I'm just backing it up. I said, that's okay. I'd hear him start up that truck. Man, I would pell-mell, look at he split. I'd run ahead, jump in that truck. He said, what in the tarnation you doing? I said, I don't want to miss out. Because once in a while, he'd go by Dairy Queen. And that's one place my dad never went past without stopping at Dairy Queen. As you can tell, I'm still doing the same thing. My dad used to get so frustrated with me. What are you doing? I'll tell you what I was doing. I lived on a farm, and there was, you didn't get to go to town about once a week. And if he was going to town, I was going with him, amen. You say, didn't you ask him? I never asked my dad once. I just jumped in. I told the Lord about 6 months ago. I said, Lord, I want to be so close to you that I brush up to you when I'm walking and I can smell you beside me. You remember your dad? My dad always wore that aftershave. Boy, I smell that. You don't hear it. Yeah, I smell that anymore. People just don't wear it. Yes. But boy, if I smell it, the first thing I'm thinking my dad. I want to be so close to my dad that I can smell him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want to be to my Heavenly Father. I have access. I'm like the kid that was at the courthouse. I can walk in and out of doors. Nobody said anything. They knew that was Claire Shear's son. They didn't say nothing. They didn't greet me. Man, I owned the place. I did. My dad was the chairman of the board of the supervisors. He is something. He's an elected official. They had people asking him questions all the time. And I was his son. Let me tell you something. I think we have missed this thing in Christianity. We have missed the fact. Marcia, listen. We have missed the fact that God is our Father. And that He wants us. He wants to communicate with us. Jesus was awestruck when a woman came to him and says, please heal my daughter. And Jesus gives a very interesting statement over there in Mark chapter 7. He said, hey, and he actually called him a dog. And the girl says, the lady says, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I constantly ask God, all I'm asked for is a few crumbs under the table. Please be merciful to me. I remember the story of Ruth. And she's out gleaning in those fields. And Boaz realized it, and he finally said to his workers, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose to her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. And I take that, Lord, just leave me some gleanings. Because God says, you leave him alone. Don't you rebuke him. He doesn't need. God spoke in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, this, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will give fill, and I will fill their treasury. Therefore, as born again Christians, we have every right to come to the Master and come to the King and come to the Savior, but most of all, come to our Father and ask anything. One man said this, lots of prayer, lots of power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Luke 18, 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take this today and help us to realize that we can gain access to the throne of God. There's not some magical or some combination or some special key. All it is we are your children and we have total access to the throne of God. Lord, if there are people here today that do not know you as their Savior and never accepted you as their Savior, they have no right to that throne. For they are still dead in their trespasses and sins. And God hates sin. Even so much of when His Son was dying on the cross and took our sins upon the Father, took our sins upon the Son's shoulders. The Son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is because of our sins. But thank God for the blood. Lord, you said you take our sins and cast them as far as east and west, never to remember them again into the deepest seas. God, I pray you'd help us today. If there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, oh, what they're missing now. Lord, that today they'd say, today, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Him to be the one who would come into my life and save me from my sins. And then, Lord, there's others who know you as their Savior. And you're their Father, but they are far, far away. They're so afraid to go to the throne room. They're afraid that they would not have access, but they'd be turned away. God, today I pray that they would quickly and carefully trust you in this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're here today and you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I pray today that right now you'd realize the grandeur, the magnificence, that there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that gave His only begotten Son to come to Christ. I mean, come to Calvary to be our Christ, to be our Savior. Right there where He's sitting, you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you right there ask Him to be your Savior? Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, right here at this seat. Father, I pray you'd bless these that have trusted you today. And they'd realize the greatness of it. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Will you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I'd sure like to pray for you. Are you on your way to heaven? If you died today, are you 100% sure you would see God or go to hell? That's your choice. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. The pianist is going to play. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But today, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Today, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want Him to come into my heart. Why don't you come at this time? You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the God's Word, the Bible, how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. The greatest opportunity you'll ever see in your life. Can you imagine a sinner that becomes saved by grace? A sinner that was lost and now he can gain access to the Almighty God's throne room? What an amazing thing. Wouldn't you like that today? Wouldn't you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why don't you come now? Why don't you come? Say, preacher, today I want to be saved. I'm not sure if I died today, but I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come? Here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? The Bible said they gladly received his word of baptized. Here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us today. Help us, Lord, to realize the awesomeness, the amazing, that we can come before a throne of God and find mercy. We can come boldly. There's no turning us back. There's no one there in front of us, no security, nothing. You just allow us to come. God, help us to use that. Help us to use it as a wonderful tool that we can find mercy in our time of need. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.